QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 16, 2013. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you, from your editor, Aries e-letter goals for its ninth year, news in brief, on the Colorado flood disaster response, San Joaquin Valley section manager commends wildfire team, CERT training in Denver to include Aries, volunteers needed for Marine Corps marathon operation, ARRL Iowa section Aries code of conduct, essay, Amateur Radio is an Application Mashup, and K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now the stories. From your editor, Aries e-letter goals for its ninth year. Rick Palm, K1CE, the Aries e-letter editor, writes, "This issue of your Aries e-letter marks the beginning of the ninth year of its publication as an ARRL monthly electronic periodical. The first issues came in September 2005 during the Hurricane Katrina mega-disaster. Those issues contained much network and other critical information from the field, with anecdotes of amateurs performing yeoman's work directly in the path of harm's way. The initial circulation was a little over 8,000 subscribers. For almost a decade now, the circulation has ballooned to more than 37,000 subscribers. I'm proud of that number, not as a reflection on your editor, but as an indication of the incredible growth of interest in the field for amateur radio as an emergency communications, disaster response, and recovery radio communications service. A service that works so well on a strictly volunteer, unpaid basis, simply out of a collective desire to help our neighbors in distress. I had a long conversation with the ARRL Headquarters Emergency Preparedness Manager, Mike Corey, KI1U, recently, to set some new direction and goals for the newsletter for the immediate future. Mr. Corey is the Headquarters Lead Staffer on Aries, Headquarters Emergency Response Planning and Operations, and served agency liaison. He would like to see, first, more ink devoted to state-of-the-art pioneering and envelope pushing of emergency and disaster communications modes, systems, and networks. He cited as examples the efforts of some groups to develop a broadband network for amateur radio public service operators. See, for example, www.hsmm-mesh.org, which is similar in concept, if not scope, to the up-and-coming, much-publicized public safety broadband service development. For an amateur broadband network to exist, use of the frequencies in the gigahertz ranges would allow for the necessary speeds and bandwidth. This, while enhancing our Aries volunteers' ability to meet the ever more demanding needs for sophistication in services by emergency managers, would also serve to justify our access to these higher frequency ranges that are coming under ever-increasing pressure from commercial interests. Thus, as the editor, I am seeking contributions of reports of such efforts from the field to stimulate the research and development of such activity on a broader scale. Henceforth, that will be one of the new pillars of direction for this newsletter. Secondly, it will be the goal of this newsletter to focus on the Aries operator's service to his neighbor in an emergency or disaster situation. I've written and reported on the CERT program as a vehicle for the refocusing of the neighborhood radio amateur, concentrating on neighborhood communications and the immediate protection of safety of life and property at the street level. Essentially, as an example, the notion is that the ham at the end of the street helps prepare and train their neighbors, as a CERT, in disaster effects mitigation, and, of course, radio communications in advance of hurricane season. And when it hits the fan, the neighborhood ham is able to activate the CERT and affect the neighborhood emergency operations plan, with part of that plan being the establishment of a communications link to the world outside the neighborhood, such as family, friends, and also the city or county EOC. The focus would be on limiting the radio amateur's travel to his neighborhood, and not so much on necessitating him driving his family station wagon on potentially perilous road conditions to a distant EOC or Red Cross shelter. Radio amateurs are decentralized and found in just about every neighborhood across the country. They are the naturals for the most local emergency and disaster response. The professional responders are not decentralized. They are located in a handful of service facilities around the town, city, or county, and in major situations may not be able to respond to a neighborhood for hours, days, or even weeks. The properly trained radio amateur is in the best position to respond to his neighbors because he is already there. A good place to start for basic education and training is by reading The Future of Aries is Certain in the public service column of the January 2013 issue of QST. In summary, this is where we see the evolution of Aries headed, towards more sophistication of services in demand by the professional emergency managers, and consequently, the use of higher frequency band and bandwidth applications, and the trend toward reducing the focus of the operator to the neighborhood versus the big EOC on the other side of the county, kind of a micro versus macro approach. I am taking this opportunity as editor of this newsletter to solicit readers' reports and stories along the above lines. Let's focus on these developmental issues going forward into our 9th year of publication. We'll pause now to allow repeaters to identify. Now, news in brief. A U.S. Army Mars News release reports IARU Emergency Communications Workshop debuts in Cancun, Mexico. The first IARU Region 2 Emergency Communications Workshop, which was held on September 24th and 25th in Cancun, Mexico, in conjunction with the IARU Region 2 18th General Assembly, explored international issues facing amateur radio's response to emergencies and disasters. Sponsored by IARU Region 2 and the ARRL, the event was co-chaired by ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, and IARU Region 2 Emergency Coordinator Dr. Cesar Pio Santos, whose call is HR2P. Participants in the workshop represented countries throughout IARU Region 2, as well as observers from IARU Regions 1 and 3. Representatives of the U.S. Army Military Auxiliary Radio Service, or MARS, met with ARRL staff at League headquarters on October 2nd to discuss ways the two organizations might collaborate in emergency response activities. Army MARS Region 1 Director Bob Mims, WA1OEZ, headed the delegation. Mr. Mims, who is also manager of the Army MARS National Net, said most of the discussion centered on how ARRL headquarters and Aries could interact with MARS during its national-level test of backup communications set for early November and going forward. The U.S. Army MARS Gateway Station at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, is operating on its normal schedule during the government shutdown, but routine administrative activity is on hold, computer systems are down, and no membership paperwork can be processed for the duration. As a civilian contractor not covered by the shutdown, Operations Officer David McGinnis, K7UXO, is completing final preparations for the November 3rd and 4th National Communications Exercise. The national net is functioning normally. The ARRL reports. On October 13th, the White House recognized Matt Brisbois, KI6RBS of Newport Beach, California, as part of its Champions of Change program. According to a City of Newport Beach news release, Mr. Brisbois, who is the Newport Beach CERT program coordinator, quote, has trained and mentored more than 1,000 residents, business and community leaders, and educators, resulting in the highest per capita volunteer-to-resident ratio for CERT programs in all of California. Close quote. CERT, a FEMA program, seeks to train members of the community to prepare for and assist in the event of an emergency or disaster. Amateur radio training and communications are among the Newport Beach CERT activities. Mr. Brisbois, a fire department life safety specialist, was one of 18 individuals selected this year as Champions of Change for Community Preparedness and Resilience. On the Colorado Flood Disaster Response. The Colorado flash flooding disasters and Ares responses of September 2013 are well documented in QST Magazine, the ARRL Letter, on the ARRL website, and elsewhere. But some excellent coverage of Ares reports of sophisticated modes and applications, like ATV, PSK, and APRS in use, newspaper and network television coverage, letters of appreciation from survivors, and some fantastic photos can be found on the Colorado Section Manager website. Here's the URL, Colorado Section Manager, that's all one word, .wordpress, that's all one word, .com/Colorado-floods-2013. That URL again is coloradosectionmanager.wordpress.com/Colorado-floods-2013. And please note, Colorado Section Manager and WordPress are each one word. Don't miss it. Our editor was struck by many of the accounts, but of special note were the efforts of the Boulder County Ares Group, which has a history of serving emergency management officials by providing fast amateur television imaging to give managers a visual of what was happening on the ground. Here's how that account reads. Boulder County Ares Group hams communicated either from the Boulder County EOC, one of the shelters at the NIWOT High School, or LifeBridge Christian Church, from one of the flood-isolated towns in the mountains west of Boulder, or on the flight line of the Boulder Municipal Airport, sending live ATV pictures from drone aircraft of the search and rescue and evacuation efforts to the Boulder EOC and via upstream across the country. Some of these hams doubled as communicators for the Boulder County and American Red Cross disaster assessment teams as well, by providing ham radio, the only communications available at the time, and automatically transmitting their DAT vehicle positions via APRS. There are many other Ares teams around the Front Range with similar activities and hours to report. The total number of volunteer hours provided by the ham radio community will be in the thousands, and all at no cost to their cities and towns. And that ends that account. And this report on APRS use. The Boulder County Land Use and the American Red Cross Disaster Assessment Team both requested amateur radio operators to ride along and provide their VHF radio communications back to the Boulder County EOC because there was no other reliable source of communications to be had at the time. These hams also carried APRS gear along with them and provided complete time, location, and distance data along their routes. That APRS info has proven valuable in the aftermath for showing what areas have already been surveyed. For these info leads, Thanks go to John Murphy, KC0JPO, the ARRL Public Information Officer for Adams County, Colorado, Aries. Mr. Murphy also passed along this additional report, which reflects much of the activity as typical of many Aries groups across the region. Region 1, District 1, Aries, was deployed on September 12th in response to the September Front Range major flooding and road closures. A shelter was set up in the Adams County High School on that afternoon. The Red Cross started to set up the shelter and quickly discovered that cell phone coverage for that area was poor. A request for amateur radio operators to provide communications was sent to Red Cross headquarters, and the call went out to Region 1, District 1 Aries in Adams County for support. Within 2 hours, amateur radio communications were set up and providing a clear link to the Red Cross headquarters and the Colorado State Emergency Operations Center. The shelter saw an influx of 150 to 200 people, with 150 people spending the night. With the communications link open, food, water, cots, and a dumpster were provided for the shelter. The shelter manager was greatly appreciative of the Aries efforts and said, "We made things happen." The shelter was open for 30 hours and then demobilized. This is the audio version of the ARRL e-letter for October 16, 2013. It's time now to pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. San Joaquin Valley Section Manager commends wildfire team. ARRL San Joaquin Valley Section Manager Dan Pruitt, AE6SX, had this to say about his team of operators involved in wildfire communications over the summer. "If you were involved with emergency communications, then you were paying attention to the fire outlook in August. There were a number of smaller fires in San Joaquin Valley, but the Rim Fire tested our resources. We worked with familiar organizations, but in central San Joaquin, there were new people in the leadership positions. We handled ourselves professionally and expertly while serving the agency's needs as they requested. Nothing ever goes exactly as planned. We put untested skill sets into practice, such as the use of the PSK mode. This allowed us to be more effective. I would have to say these are not unusual conditions, and I did not receive any bad reports. This makes me very proud of Aries and all amateur radio volunteers. I am honored to be affiliated with such mindful and considerate citizens. Amateur radio volunteers had supported the Red Cross and local government in the wake of the gigantic Rim Fire in and near California's Yosemite National Park and the Stanislaus National Forest. Amateur radio volunteers were on duty for 16 days. The initial call-out on August 19th responded to a request to assist the Red Cross in setting up an evacuation center in Groveland, California. More information is available at www.arrl.org/news/aries-races-volunteers-conclude-rim-fire-activation. That is a long URL, so I'll repeat it. It is www.arrl.org/news/aries-races-volunteers-conclude-rim-fire-activation. CERT training in Denver to include Aries. A full-scale training exercise for CERT training grads needing a graduation exercise to complete their training took place October 20, 2013 in Denver, Colorado. All Denver CERT-trained students served as the responders for the graduation exercise. About 100 role players were needed to play injured citizens in a disaster scenario. Participating CERT training graduates were being asked to bring a friend to serve as a role player. Denver area Aries personnel supported the exercise with radio communications. Participants received a go kit. Carolyn H. Bloom from the Community Preparedness and Relations Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security for the City and County of Denver said, "This is an excellent opportunity to participate and help prepare our communities for times of disaster." Volunteers needed for Marine Corps Marathon Operation. The ARRL Maryland DC Section News reports, "There are only a few more days until one of the premier amateur radio-supported public service events takes place, the Marine Corps Marathon. The communications support is a joint effort among amateur radio operators in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia." ARRL Maryland D.C. Section Manager Jim Cross, WI3N, reports, "We are still uncomfortably below the threshold of volunteers that we need." Mr. Cross says, "If you've never done anything like this before, don't let it scare you. After signing up, there are team leaders who will match your equipment to the task and work with you to explain the task and how to accomplish it." Mr. Cross adds that, in general, the major need is for eyes on the course, although if you have digital mode skills, we have a job for you. More instruction, registration, and further information can be found at www.ncacdc.com. The URL again is www.ncacdc.com. ARRL Iowa Section Aries Code of Conduct. Aries e-letter editor Rick Palm, K1CE, notes, "Here is a good code of conduct for Aries members, as promulgated by Iowa Aries officials. Whereas the ARRL Iowa Section Aries members are the personification of amateur radio to the public and to the governmental and quasi-governmental agencies they serve, they elected to publish guidelines for Aries registered volunteer behavior. Although these are not conditions for participation, the Iowa leadership strongly encourages each Aries member to abide by these standards. Number 1, Aries members will conduct themselves with respect and courtesy to those whom we serve. We will be listeners and communicators. Number 2, Aries members will not act as or be perceived as agents or employees of the agencies whom we serve. We are a serving agency and have no authority to act on behalf of the agency. Number 3, Aries members will not use profanity, vulgar language, or language or expressions which may be considered derogatory when in public. Number 4, Aries members will not park in restricted areas unless specifically authorized or invited to do so by the agencies we serve. Number 5, Aries members will not use flashing lights while vehicles are underway. The use of flashing yellow lights is permitted only when vehicles are stationary for the purposes of collision avoidance. If in doubt, please inquire with Net Control, and they will request clarification from the Emergency Operations Center. Number 6, Aries members will not solicit contributions or gifts, merchandise or services from any individuals or businesses while using the name of local EOCs or the phrase emergency services. All solicitations using the name of Amateur Radio Emergency Service or associated related names must be approved in writing by those associated agencies in advance. No Aries member, including Aries leadership, is authorized to use the name of the agencies without their prior written permission. Number 7, Aries members will not use the logos or identifying marks of the agencies we serve without prior approval in writing by those agencies. And number 8, all prospective Aries members must be able to pass their respective county EOC credentialing requirements. These requirements are not negotiable. It's time once again to pause and allow repeater stations to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 16th, 2013. Now, an essay titled Amateur Radio is an Application Mashup. Charlie Ristorcelli, NN3V in Poway, California, writes, "During presentations on amateur radio contributions to emergency and disaster response, invariably questions arise from non-hams trying to understand how it is that amateur radio is such an effective and reliable communication system, and how it is available to the public at no cost, but is also an avocation. Hams invariably respond by emphasizing amateur radio's use of modern technology, the dedication of individual hams to their public service role, that hams bring their own equipment to the service, the non-pecuniary nature of ham radio, etc. Yet the public remains puzzled. Except for the non-pecuniary aspect, those answers also apply to the commercial systems, and the public seldom understands the cost savings. I offer the following as a better approach for explaining amateur radio value in emergency and disaster response radio communications services. In today's internet-savvy culture, amateur radio's distinguishing characteristic for emergency service communications is that it is an application mashup. It is a primary reason that Facebook, eBay, etc. are so successful. Let's examine three principal characteristics of amateur radio under this moniker. Operating time. Individual hams operate frequently. Thousands of hams practice their skills and ensure their equipment is fully operational every day of the week, not just during some pre-scheduled emergency communication test. Operating interests. Hams have diverse interests and a variety of talents. Some try to operate independently of the commercial power grid. Others operate at very low power, gaining practice in techniques to overcome adverse conditions. Some only use home-brewed antennas, learning exceptional antenna construction skills. Many operate nets where they control traffic flow and routinely switch frequencies to overcome poor conditions. These and innumerable other examples develop thousands of special skills that contribute to instant value added to amateur radio, and hence the public, over other systems. Self-sufficiency. The skills hams acquire in all of the above allow overcoming the most adverse of conditions. Hams have no expectation that their IT department will come and fix their computer, or that an electrician will restore their power sources, or that some other repairman will arrive to fix failed equipment. Hams do it all themselves. The ham operating in an emergency situation is self-sufficient. The web-centric definition of application mashup is an application that combines data and/or functionality from more than one source. When an emergency occurs, what do hams do? They bring astonishing diversity of talents and assets to the table in terms of capabilities, as the commercial infrastructure fails due to a number of factors. This is a human and equipment resource treasure that cannot be duplicated by any amount of money from any government or private resource. It is the essence of how amateur radio is the emergency communication service that never fails. So when someone asks, why amateur radio when all else fails? The answer is simple. It's because amateur radio is an application mashup. It's time for K1CE's final. Rick Palm says, as promised, following up on previous issues' closing remarks, I spent some time this past month downloading and operating the NBEMS suite of programs and utilities for multimode digital operation with a sound card. The software is free and easily downloadable. A good overview of the suite can be found on the ARRL website at www.arrl.org/NBEMS. Essentially, as the website overview states, Narrowband Emergency Messaging Software, or NBEMS, is an open-source software suite that allows amateur radio operators to reliably send and receive data using nearly any computer, Windows, Mac, and Linux, and any analog radio without requiring a dedicated digital infrastructure or specialized modem hardware. NBEMS works on both VHF and UHF FM and on HF. In a presentation, you will learn the basics of sending and receiving data using FL-Digi. You will also see how to easily send and receive verified files and forms using FL-MSG. NBEMS is the standard digital emergency disaster communications package for Western Pennsylvania Ares. A good update on the NBEMS suite was published just recently in the September 2013 issue of QST on pages 70 and 71. Development has focused on making the programs and utilities more user-friendly to reduce the risk of errors when operators are under stress from an emergency situation. A real-life hospital account is included. My initial experimentation with NBEMS has been very satisfying. There is nothing more exciting than getting a new program to work on the air, and that was the case with me and NBEMS. And, well, truth be told, its flagship FL-Digi has become my personal default program for DXing at night on 20 meters using PSK31. The waterfall display on my computer is better, the tuning is better, and it works well to dig the data out of seeming nothingness. I tried the FL-MSG utility, and its value as a tool for completing and transmitting common incident command system and ARRL forms is in evidence. I practiced by completing an ICS-204 form and an ARRL radiogram form, and then mock sending them via the new FL-Digi feature AutoSend, which eliminates the multiple steps needed to send a form before the function's adoption. As I mentioned, this report covers only my initial trials, and I am looking forward to trying some of the modes other than PSK31 and gaining new thrills. Congrats to the NBEMS developers on making an open-source program so available and as an obvious tool in the emergency communicators toolbox. 73 from Rick, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Ares Audio e-letter for October 16, 2013. The ARRL Ares Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Ares Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Ares e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.